Greetings, friends, and welcome back to the GrogPod Roguelike Podcast, where we meme into a rogue game, meme up some ratings, and if it's memey or clickbaity enough, revisit it in the end of season recap tournament that you won't believe. I am your screaming face emoji thumbnail host of the podcast, Scott Berger, and with me are my co-host reaction videos.
Oh, it's me, Colin, the cool skateboarding skeleton.
And this is Will, your 13-year-old edgelord who names enemy a Scorpionussy.
Hey, I'm Andrew.
Did I steal yours? Are you going to go for that?
No. So I just, a little low energy. I had a busy anime convention weekend. Fortunately, the convention, post-convention blues are being helped by the fact that we got to play a cell-shaded game. So,
I'm looking through the character list, and apparently there's another skateboarding character in this.
Well, it's technically a hoverboard,
Wow.
This week we are talking Mega Bonk, the mega hit released September 18th, 2025, that I believe is a Steam exclusive for the moment. Published and developed by, more on this in a minute before people totally tune out, but I'm planting my flag in the sand that Veni Nad, the listed developer on Steam, is actually the YouTuber Unity developer Danny, D-A-N-I, who goes by Danny Dev, which is Veni Nad backwards, on YouTube. And if that's true, which again we'll go in more detail, this is one in a long list of games that one Danny has put out since 2019. Just quickly browsing through their itch.io page, we got Fair and Square, Off the Balls, Balls question mark, A Triangle Game, Carlson 2D, Tree Team, Farty Rocket, Carlson, Bad Game, Milkman Carlson, YouTuber Tournament, Ooga Booga, Rerun, and Jelly Drift before their first Steam release, which is Muck in 2021, which is kind of, it's tagged as a rogue game, so technically it exists on our rankings, or the Steam data set that I have here. And that game is the number 12 all-time most popular, with 180,000 something reviews. They also released Crab Game in 2021, the same year. And then Danny went MIA from YouTube, much to the consternation of his, God, I don't know how many millions of followers he has on his YouTube channel, probably almost as many as we do. But he, I guess, basically just kind of disappeared off the face of the earth. And then Megabonk 2025 happened by being published by someone whose name is just his YouTube handle backwards, question mark. Which has kind of sent the Dannyverse into a tailspin, so much so that the official Danny Dev subreddit had to put out a message saying that, first off, he is alive and in good health. He's taken a step back from social media to focus on other things in life. And it's pinned up at the top. It kind of goes on to say that, like, hey, like, he's just kind of taking a step back from social media. He's not dead or anything. But people are still clamoring at the milk gates for Carlson 3D, which I can only describe as something that's like super hot meets Portal. Maybe quick note about Crab Game 2021, nominated for the 2021 Unity Awards for Best Multiplayer Game. He started game devin when he was the spry young age of 22. But anyway, back to Megabonk. Megabonk skateboards in at the number 27th most popular rogue game on Steam with 99,827 total reviews. Your average player of Megabonk has about 31 hours of gameplay in it. Will, what is your one-sentence YouTuber clickbait description of what one does in Megabonk?
Well, it's essentially Vampire Survivors in a 3D environment where your goal is to survive with a cast of characters with a number of different roguelike generated treasures and items, and your goal is to bonk everything and come out on top.
Now, I know how much Colin loves the concept of time travel. And
I do. It's my favorite.
And all of its scientific accurate glory. Is this the best time travel capsule that we have that perfectly encapsulates the world of 2019 pre-pandemic memedom.
I was wondering where you were going with this.
No. What? Wait, where do you get that vibe? Sorry, I answered for you, Carl. Go ahead.
Where do
No, I don't.
I get the vibe of memes from?
Of 2019 in particular,
In
like this is.
2019, I guess, I don't know, like, I mean, we'll probably talk more in detail about the specific items and such, but I think that like there's a lot of references, I guess, like is like s I guess I get like the sense that things like Stonks or Aura or like Mega Chad are all like in that very like slice of the internet, such as it was just prior to the pandemic wreaking havoc.
So Mega Chad is no longer a thing. Now it's Giga Chad. Is that what we're up to? We're up to the looks maxing Giga Chads. I don't know. I don't know the progression.
Presumably.
Mega Chads just seems like that seems like just as a Chad in general is.
I'm looking at Google Trends and Mega Chad is like barely a thing up until August 31st, 2025.
I think
For
that
me
some of these
for
specific memes, stonks, the concept of, you know, Chads and incel, what are they? What's the opposite of a Chad again? The beta incel.
Stonks does peak in
Neets.
2020.
Okay, but these
There you
things
go.
are alive and well, at least in my YouTube algorithm, unfortunately. However, the like cutesy misspelling, the style of misspelling things, like the game over screen that says that you are DED, that does kind of feel like the general language sounds like something of the past decade.
It's immature. That's the thing we're trying to get to here.
It
It feels
feels like
very immature.
youthful.
Youthful?
Youthful.
Youthful.
It
Yes.
is the
Got a
nicest
spring
way I
on
could
God,
explain it.
Colin. On
The
God. No
on
cap.
God, immature for children.
But regardless
No.
of where this this cutesiness, this meminess comes from, whether it's time traveling or not, or some kind of, you know, evergreen, very much of the moment type of terminology, do we like it? Question mark.
Well,
Well, that's why we're
who
here.
is we in that sentence?
We the podcast. Did we
We the
find it to
pod.
be a did it worsen? Did it lessen our enjoyment of the game?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the when I saw, yeah, as I mentioned in the intro here, Scorpion Ussi, the USSY as something that you just attach to words in order to turn it into a sort of a sexual object, bussy, for example, and such. These are things
Well, I
which
mean,
bussy
that's does peak in
important
2021.
foundational piece of American language. But it, right, the I would argue that Scorpinussy is an anti-joke, like that it is intentionally bad. It's intentionally anti-clever.
If it
It's
were the
very
only
silly.
instance of that, maybe. I feel like it's part of a greater trend.
Yeah, there's a lot of that
They
stuff.
can't all be anti-jokes, Andrew.
So to be clear, one of my the first time I was on this episode, I had a page of notes, and there were a few items which were canned jokes that I had come up with, and one of them was we were talking about Enter the Gungeon. I'm like, all right, Andrew, be sure to use the phrase blunderbussy.
I mean, that's, see, but that's clever.
Unfortunately, I forgot, and what a shame, because I've since
That,
heard that out in the podcast sphere.
but that's a much better pun.
I appreciate that. Yeah, but so that's kind of funny because there's a little more to it. Whereas Scorpinussy is so absurd and like just, you know, hacked together of a joke. I think it's intentionally bad, and therefore, and by extension, it makes it for a memorable name of a boss. I'm hard pressed to remember all the boss names, but I definitely remember Scorpinussy.
So I think like when you say like does it impact like the we in it, like there's the we the podcast crew that everyone that I'm sure all 10 million Danny heads are tuning into this video. Make sure to hit like and subscribe on your way out. That they love this kind of humor and that this is like the exact like OMG, this is like the best game ever. We got the Sus Bush. We got Borgars, we got Zawarudos. Speed Boys, we got Moais, it's got everything. It's got everything that the Dannyverse needs. And it feels like, you know what? That's great for that community. I'm glad that they have it. I almost wish that this game leaned further into it because
Oh,
previous
interesting.
episode, Holocure, Save the Fans, a Vampire Survivors like game featuring all of the VTuber Holoverse people, like that leans as f like that is like it's almost not balanced for lean, as they say, because it's leaning over so hard. Like that is like that game's identity to a T, whereas like this is just kind of like, you know, it's there, but like the game could exist without it. Like with Holocure, that game could not exist at all without that theming to it.
I think
Interesting,
it's
interesting.
fine flavor. The people who like it will like it a lot. It did not detract from the game too much for me. It's more just like, eh.
I'm sorry, Will, that was your experience. Colin, I tend to agree with you. I feel like if you love it, you love it. And if you don't, you can ignore it. It's like,
Yeah.
it's not, there's no voice acting that
It's
goes along with this.
yeah,
So it's
right,
not in your
yeah.
face.
It's mostly like a theming, like, well, we have to do something. We have to figure out how we want to like name our things somehow.
Sure,
Might as well
sure,
make
sure.
them joke memes rather than like Elgar the Elder Tree Lord.
Now, that being said, when you get to the crypt and the crypt description is smells like shit, that made me laugh like multiple times. I was like, just what is this crypt like? As a dungeon master who has like described in great detail what the crypt is like that the party is entering into, just to see it smells like shit was like very, very comical and also kind of liberating. Like, you know, I don't have to bore you with all this information. You know what a creepy crypt is like. Probably don't smell too good. In fact, this one pretty stinky.
Well, according to Urban Dictionary, kids, ask your grandparents what Urban Dictionary was. Usi is an informal suffix used to describe a threshold of an object or an orifice that has no informal name. Usage example: why does my steak have a stussy? So you know, I don't think there's anything about scorpion Usi that really requires that specific name, but.
Well, it's extra
We
funny
simply
because it's like
must move on, gentlemen.
it's such
We haven't talked about the
a
game at all yet.
We
Well,
simply
okay.
must proceed. Very
Last point
well.
on this, you'll be glad to know that Gen Alpha have been trying to get this thing called the Great Meme Reset into the common zeitgeist, where they're just like, you know what, memes have gone too far. We're gonna start this thing called the Great Meme Reset. We're gonna reset all of the memes back to like Success Kid and like the bad advice dog style memes. So.
Interesting.
So maybe we've kind of like come full circle here at that point. But
But they also think 6-7 is cool. So mixed bag.
yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think the reason why I wanted to kind of give a bit of a preamble on Danny, the Danny Dev game dev
Yo, and
YouTuber.
but yes, thank you for that history and what a fascinating background to this game. Why did you want to bring it up specifically, other than to be
So,
interesting?
yeah, I mean, like it's kind of been a common theme with his videos and game dev career, as it were, that like he would like put up tutorial videos in Unity of like, oh, like I made this knife that talks or something, you know, and applying the very kind of standard YouTube algorithm things to make video do good isms. I'm hesitating to use the word clickbait because like I think his videos are actually like really well done. They do have a particular editing style and flavor to them that are very YouTube, that like can be a little grating sometimes, but like yeah, like if you are trying to bait that audience of the general YouTube-iverse,
Well, yeah, he's trying to be strategic. He knows the platform, he knows the audience, and he's going to make content that plays well.
So you're kind of standard content creator kind of approach. And in a lot of times, like commenters to his videos will say, "Well, I bet you can't make this," and then he'll take it as kind of like a personal challenge, be like, "So I did it," and put up this like very extensive YouTube video with him, like deep diving, like here's how to do all these things in Unity, and it's very educational. Like he goes and like all good programmers is like kind of showing the cards up his sleeve of like just going and like copy pasting code from elsewhere on the internet, as everybody does. There's no shame in that, myself included. And I think like this kind of makes total perfect sense where the genesis for this game came from. Because other games like Mux specifically, someone was like, I bet you can't make a multiplayer game or whatever. And he's like, well, I did it. And here's all the video stuff that I did to do it.
Well, I did it, and it was nominated for a major award.
Easy. Why doesn't everyone just do that? So yeah, I think like given that history of like making a lot of like I don't know, maybe like prototype kind of like game jam level games, you know, not something that's like triple A Red Dead Redemption style scope games, but things that like a single dude can build in like a few weeks and spend another couple weeks making a video with all the YouTubeisms in it.
Whereas Megabonk, we have this is his first sort of full length game release.
Well, it's his first commercial game release for sure. Mm-hmm. All of the other previous games he's put out have been free, including Muck and Crab Game. And this is the first one that there has been like money being charged for on Steam. So I don't know if like him going under a pseudonym of Vedi Nad, Danny Dev backwards. It's right there, people. It's right there. There's like another like bottomless pit of YouTube lore of like, I did it, I proved that Danny is Vedi Nad and all these things. And like when the official Reddit has to come out and say like, look, stop using vulgarities and stop trying to like dox him on the internet, just like leave him alone, please. I can kind of understand why he dropped off the face of the earth for 4 years, but
well, enough about him. How about the actual game that we played?
Yeah, yeah. Colin, what do you think of this game?
I think it's fine. I think it's pretty fun. I like the first level. It's basically Vampire Survivors and Risk of Rain 2 if they had like a weird meme baby. Like,
yeah, it's a better one sentence description right there than I had. Yeah,
by the last 15 minutes to think of it, but that's definitely the vibe I had though while playing it. Is like, oh, this is a very good implementation of Vampire Survivors in a 3D procedural generated world. Like there were a couple times where the generation made me a little annoyed, but I think that was mostly because I was just like got stuck in a corner, and that was frustrating to lose because of it. Mm-hmm. Maybe not because the world generation is actually bad.
Now they're and I can't recall because I played a lot, but a long time ago. And all the worlds though, or all the maps are not procedurally generated, if I recall correctly, and all the items are, and all the enemies are. Is that how that works?
Wait, are the maps really not?
I'm pretty sure the maps are static, but the placement of the items in the maps are random.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's okay.
And it's which is the Risk of Rain and Vampire Survivors Survivors model, but
surely at least the crypt is procedurally generated.
Well, as someone who never got that far, I'll have to take your word for it.
Yeah, no, that one is. Yeah, I remember I played it twice, and it was definitely different both times.
Okay. Really, the main stage is. Oops. Okay. Interesting.
You don't start in the same spot every time, though, so it does. It is different, and they're big enough. The level's big enough that.
Indeed, as we discussed in Project Zomboid, starting in a random spot in a big enough map is close to a randomized experience.
It's not that big, though. I mean, like you will cover if you. You'll cover the entire map every single time. Sure.
Now, of course, the environment is important, but also the placement of items and things is as well. In addition to being 3D versus two-dimensional, another thing that this game does different from Vampire Survivors is it introduces something that I haven't seen in another Survivor game. These what is the mechanical term? They're like these totems. Shrines. There are these pillars. What are they called?
Shrines.
Shrines. Which are these objects that are dotted around the map that you need to stand next to. You need to charge them up. And you need to remain within range of them long enough for this this circle progress bar thing to fill up. And at the end of it, you can pick from a list of bonuses. And
yeah, I
thought
that
was pretty beyond novel. I thought it was fairly innovative and interesting. It's like, oh, here is a new activity.
It's like a chest you have to do a little bit of work for.
Quite, quite. And later, that mechanic is leveraged in a pretty clever way in a big boss fight, which I thought was neat because, of course, it's a mechanic that the player is familiar with, and now it's being used in a battle that was, I thought, a pretty elegant use and evolution of an existing game mechanic. What else does it do different and new?
Well, I think, like, yeah, so if, like, the title card for this is, like, Risk of Rain 2 meets Vampire Survivors kind of thing, like, it's certainly easier and faster than Risk of Rain 2, or in that, like, you have to, you know, block off, like, a full 45 minutes depending on how many loops you want to do. It definitely, like, plays better in the Steam Deck, I'll give it that. And then the mini map, I want to make a call out for, of, like, oh, like, now I can actually kind of, like, see, because, like, in Risk of Rain, you have, like little tiny urns that you can run around and just, like, knock open and get a little bit of, like, golden XP from. That's here. But they're in Risk of Rain 2, they're kind of hard to see. They're not really, like, spelled out for you. And, like, those and the chests kind of blend into the environment a little bit. Here, like, they, like, those kinds of things are just, like, every 5 feet there's something. And, like, you're either popping open one of the little urns, or you are, like, popping open a chest. And I do appreciate that, like, the UI has, like, here's what, like, the current chest, like, cost rate is.
Right.
Versus, like, here's how much gold you currently have. Whereas in Risk of Rain 2, there's multiple different types of chests. And each of those could, like, they each, like, scale in a different way monetarily. But like, you won't know how much it costs until, like, you run up to it effectively. And then, yeah, like, the charging shrine thing is interesting, because in Risk of Rain 2, like, you just have the shrines, which some of them, like, you just go up and activate. But here you have, like, a timer associated with it with, like, a sphere. So you have to be close to it. And on that first forest level, there's a lot of verticality, which in some cases makes it real annoying when you're trying to charge up one of those shrines and a Baneling that has been copy-pasted from StarCraft 2 comes up and blows up next to you and then shoots you across the whole map. You're like, well, that's great. I was this close to getting that that upgrade. But and I think, like, in this game, it's also maybe easier to, like, sort of min-max your build a little, where, like, you have that kind of survivors-like mechanism of, like, oh, from the item pool, here's all these things. I want to, like, banish these specific ones here. And Risk of Rain has that, but it's a little harder to accomplish. But yeah, and I think, like, what this game here does better than Vampire Survivors, not much, but it's faster.
I liked the upgrade system for the leveling, where it's got, you know, you're upgrading one of the it gives you three choices of the things, either new things or upgrades to what you already have. And the stat that it upgrades is randomized. So, you know, I thought that was clever and interesting. Like, you know, in most of the times, it's like each time you level up that weapon or whatever, it's leveling up in the same way. Versus this, you could have, like, a completely different level 10 sword one run to the next. One run, it could be like, it's 10 swords, really. And the other one, it's like, it does super crit damage because you focused on that specific thing. So I liked that you could tailor your upgrades in a little bit.
And even within that, too, the like the degree of goodness, or I guess tier of the upgrades, is something that's also based on a probabilistic system where luck highly influences it. So 10 levels where you're getting epic or legendary sort of loot and versus just the basic ones gives you very divergent outcomes in terms of total amounts of whatever a stat you're going for.
And there's, like, sometimes you get, you're like, oh, this is an epic level upgrade to this weapon. It's not really upgrading the stats that I want, but it's such a good, it's like, well, I'm not really going for a multi-projectile build on this, but this is gonna, like, give me three more, so I guess I'll just do that too now.
For sure.
So I thought it was an interesting way it, like, helps you guide your build, but also can pull you off in a little bit of an interesting direction.
The decision of what upgrade you're gonna pick in these survivor-like games, sometimes at a certain point becomes pretty boring, and like you know what you're gonna do, you're like spamming the button, like, hey, I'm just picking that thing over and over again. The introduction of this rarity system makes that decision-making process more interesting. And I appreciated that. It's also, you know, just always exhilarating to see an item or an upgrade highlighted in purple or yellow.
Yeah.
It never gets old.
Big color
Well,
good.
yeah, so I guess like you fire up this game, you have to go through a 2 hour long Hideo Kojima cutscene fest before starting it. No. You just literally jump right in, and you have just like a black hole portal that dumps your character out into level one, the forest. I mean, you kind of knew what you were signing up for at this point with like it's a survivor's like game. Like you just go in and you just stand around and like wait for the things to kill stuff. But you start off with two characters unlocked right out of the gate, Fox and Sir Oofy,
A good character and a bad character, in my experience.
Yeah, Fox is much better, by the way.
A
Fox is.
medium character and a bad character.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. It's just like, I don't know. I played with the knight first, because the knight is in so much of the actual game artwork,
Oh, wait, are you
Richard
saying the knight
Bluetooth.
is the good character?
That is what
Yeah,
I'm
he's wrong.
saying.
Yeah, that.
Oh, no, I.
I played as the knight. The knight is way tankier, and like
He's so slow.
I beat the boss on like my first try. And I'm like, all right, great. Now let's try out this fox. And I proceed to rapidly die six times in a row. And it was rap I rapidly died six times in a row after immediately after getting on the Discord and saying, wow, this game over animation is fun. Well, guess what? You're gonna see it six times in a row. Okay, so y'all prefer the I'm yeah, you know, I'm sure the fox wizard is better if you actually stay alive and strategize and pick the right abilities and things.
But yeah, so you in classic rogue style fashion have a bunch more characters to unlock. I think there's like 20 total, ranging from a skateboarding sunglasses wearing a skeleton named Calcium, the super buff Mega Chad, you got Ogre, you got CL4NK or Clank, who look. I'm a bandit main in Risk of Rain 2, and it irks me a little bit to see some of these things just like straight copy pasted. But you got Athena, you got Robinette, you got Monkey, who is a monkey wearing sunglasses. You got Tony
Like monkey.
McZoom, who's our aforementioned hoverboard guy, and some others in there too as well. But oh, I guess all importantly, Sir Chadwell, who is Sir Oofy's wife's boyfriend. As the lore, the deep lore to this game, told me, I was like, okay, gotta note that down for when that eventually becomes pertinent. And yeah, each of these guys like kind of like starts with something different about them. And on each level, like this person like gains one XP gain per level or 1% lifesteal or crit or something like that. So they each have kind of like their own gimmicks. What kind of bugs me about this is that, like, oh, great, like, I've done this thing, I've killed 1,000 skeletons. But now I have to, like, buy this other item. You have to kill 1,000 skeletons and you have to buy the bone, item or weapon, I guess. And then you have to buy the character again, which is like, it feels like too many layers of the meta progression currency, which is silver. And like you get silver in this game by just playing it, and you can like use some of it to like make that ramp a little easier over time. But I kind of found this a little tedious of just like, oh man, like how long is it gonna take me to unlock this fucking skateboarding skeleton? And I did it eventually, only be like I also found out that like as you are playing through this, like you'll be completing quests, I guess. And those are, things of like go and kill 1,000 skeletons or like complete this specific tier of this map. And like those will give you a whopping 2 silver granted for each of them. But like that's another thing. You got to go into the quest menu and then click I accept and then get that money banked into your silver pouch, which the you can then finally go and unlock the character. Am I the only one that was irked by this? I don't know. Like maybe I'm
That's,
just bad.
I mean, that's the. Can you imagine everything is unlocked, right? And you get into the game. How much replayability is there? Almost none. I mean, like, the reason that people will keep on playing is to unlock everything. Like, the goal of this game is not to beat like a level or whatever, is to unlock everything. And so, if there were not all these gates around everything, yeah, it would the fun would just get sapped out right away because there would just be no challenge. And so all these little challenges are what makes the game interesting, and I think that they're an absolute requirement for making it
Well,
work.
sure, but just like the actual like mechanism of first you have to unlock it, then you have to buy their weapon, then you have to buy the character is like it's just a few too many levels. Like I'm down for unlocks, of course, that's what's going to keep you coming back and playing is because you want to get all that extra stuff. But yeah, I hear where you're coming from, Scott. It was I had that experience today when I'm like I got to check out this Zoro character that Will seems to dominate with. And I'm like, great. I fulfilled the quest. I fought him in the desert. Now to just go and play him. And then what was extra aggravating about this situation is that it told me you have unlocked this Zoro character. I forget his name. I go to the unlock screen. I
Like, no,
select the
you've
character's tab.
unlocked the ability to buy him.
Right. The
Yes.
opportunity of a lifetime to
Like
purchase.
Bandit.
So I go, I select the bandit character.
You've been chosen to go to the timeshare presentation.
And it says, "Hey, great. Hey, all you got to do is you got to go buy a sword." I'm like, "Well, that must mean that I just got to drop the silver." Wrong. There's a separate quest that I need to do to unlock his weapon. And by that time, I've lost interest. And I'm like, "Well, okay, I guess I'll keep playing as a skeleton because I'm having the most fun with him."
To some extent, like I'm not even really adverse to like that kind of chained like progression system. I feel like I don't know, like the silver part of it itself just kind of like irks me a little. And I think I was reading like a patch note from like right when the game released, where like some of the character unlock requirements were like way higher than what they are now. I'm just like, man, okay.
Okay, well, it's something that is has been a concern of some kind of some level and has been addressed over the course of updates. So it doesn't sound like Scott and I are that off base if Danny agrees with us.
Yeah, and I think like Risk of Rain 2 also kind of has this problem where like the lunar coin equivalent for silver in that game also has like this horribly grindy aspect to it. But like people have kind of figured out like, oh yeah, you just go into like this .ini file in the game settings and you just like change like your lunar coin number from like 14 to 9999999 and then don't worry about it. I tried looking up how to do that for Megabonk, and I just found a bunch of threads of people saying, "Just play the game. Why are you cheating at it?" I'm just like, "Well, okay, won't argue that." But yeah, I think that
Just
like,
play the game.
yeah,
Well, they're not considering the fact that we're on a set time schedule and we're
gotta,
trying to put out this fine show, of course.
yeah.
I didn't love the way that it was laid out. It's I don't know. It's not a
I thought it was mostly fine. It did have the problem that I've seen in a couple other games where buying more, like unlocking more items, meant that the pool of items that might get dropped was diluted. So
Right.
I'm like, I wish I could un I like oh I don't really like this item. I wish I could unbuy it.
You can banish
I
everything.
mean, yeah, but like, yeah.
I mean, that's a perfect solution, right?
But then it's like. It's still like, okay, I don't like this item because I want to try playing this character. But then when I like go back, now I want to, oh, now I want to play the armor character. Now I need to unbuy all of these things and rebuy the armor tome or whatever.
You want a preset, basically.
Yeah, like it should be
No, I agree with that.
like it's kind of annoying.
Isn't that what the microwave interactable on the map does? Am I off
Sure.
base with that?
But like,
I thought the microwave, the one time that I use it was something that like you choose which item you're just like, like I don't need this for my build. I'm just gonna
No,
put this in here.
the microwave is
No, it's the other
run.
way.
It's per run though. It's not like what Colin's talking about is like before you get into the level, you want to configure the things that are in the pool. Whereas the microwave, all it does is it takes, if you have multiple items, you choose one and then it will disintegrate another one of the same tier randomly and it will duplicate that. So it's a bit of a different mechanic.
I mean, it's not that big of a deal in this game. I remember being very,
Indeed.
very in Rogue Tower, or that was like extremely
Oh,
relevant.
yeah, no, I remember that. You're just like, oh no, I unlocked this thing and now I always have to deal with that. Or I have to start a new game in order to get rid of it.
Yeah, pretty
That's
much. And
such a
eventually
good
they let
game.
you redo stuff. No, it was like it made you
No, totally,
measurably
sure.
worse to have unlocked it.
Indeed, indeed. These last couple of complaints are relatively minor, for sure. Now, speaking of the pool of items, let's talk about some of these items. Obviously, in a vampire survivor type way, they're themed to the characters. So, of course, the gorilla character, who I like quite a bit, he can climb, very useful since the game's three dimensional, and
Well,
so
one
getting
map of
around.
it is.
Very useful. The graveyard is also
Oh,
three
okay.
dimensional. Also, the
Sure.
crypt, I found his climbing to be very helpful. You're right, totally useless in the desert. Almost completely useless. The gorilla's got a banana that flies out like a boomerang.
Well,
Our
those aren't
skateboarding
items,
skeleton.
though. Those are your like weapons.
Pardon me. All right, well, let's talk about the items and weapons of the game.
Not
I would mean to.
I don't regret saying that. I think that those are extremely different. Your weapons
Indeed.
and tomes you upgrade when you level up, the items you get from chests, completely different systems.
So true. Two different systems. Thank you for the correction. But the point
Become
stands. I'd like to
corrected,
talk
Andrew.
about the specific flavor and effects of these items and weapons. So you're throwing boomerang bones. You're throwing boomerang bananas. You are shooting lightning bolts. You are, of course, creating a trail of fire behind you as you run around. You're eating burgers. You're eating health kits, presumably. And the other items that I paid a lot of attention to. And of course, I know all about it, Colin.
Unfortunately, just like with Vampire Survivors, there is the best setup, or like a few like of the best sort of things you can go for, and then you just kind
Let's
of
go
like
to Will's Power Gaming Corner,
tell
please. You have
us how
by
to
far the
win.
most hours.
Well,
How do you dominate in Mega Bonk?
you're gonna choose that Zoro character first of all. I forgot his name, Bandit, something like that. I don't know. But that's just something that where it's just like a short range, fast attacking, like thing that just auto attacks the thing that's closest to you, and it can hit multiple guys.
All
And
right.
I
The
believe that
Zoro
scales.
swiping sword.
I think it's a crit scaling one, and crit scaling is like one
Ooh.
of the best things to scale, because yeah, you do a ton more damage. And that's the one thing. And the other thing is the Tome of Quantity is like that's for pretty
Yeah.
much every single good weapon. Like you want to just have more of that thing going out. And so unless you're doing like an aura build where you're just like or like you're basically just doing something where it's a radius around you which matters, like a size sort of a stab boost, then you pretty much always want to have either you want to have the shoot more stuff. You want to either shoot faster, shoot more, or you'll want to have more crit damage. And so it's like there's kind of like a because there's only so many slots you can get. It's pretty much you always have to have one that's like HP oriented, another which is like maybe speed. You can kind of like change things in and out, but basically there's only like so many major sets of things that you would want to consider. And I don't know, I have 45 hours of gameplay. I don't remember a lot of what that stuff looked like, but I do know that the ones that where you're actually aiming, because you can actually aim certain weapons, they're no good. No, you just more jumps in general. You want to go faster. You want more. Yeah, it's a.
I
I can't recall the name of it.
don't
But
know
if
if
you
it
do
is
want to aim,
better
the
for winning, but I definitely found my enjoyment of the game to be strongly correlated to how fast and how jumpy I was.
Yeah, like
Like, I just found it to be more enjoyable if you were like cruising around.
the more that this game
Absolutely.
turned into like a Counter-Strike surf map, the
Yes,
more I was having fun with it.
exactly. We got surf map vibes, we got tribes vibes. Like this game not only does it introduce the huge element of now you're in a 3D world, but like it really takes great advantage of it by allowing you to go quick and have a fun, satisfying time of hopping and bopping and going as quick as possible, which is, of course, exemplified with the skeleton on a skateboard character, because of course his main trait, his main character ability, that is just he starts with automatically, is that the faster you go, the more damage you deal. Approximately, I'm summarizing that not quite accurately, but wait, the amount of
I
damage
thought it was
output,
like the longer you went without getting hit, the faster you go. Am I just misremembering?
It's both. You go faster, you do more damage the faster you go. And then if you get hit, it like cuts it in half or something.
And there are a bunch of items and well, items primarily that give additional boosts to that. It is simply a delight. The most fun I had in this game was in the large open desert level, just flying around as the skeleton, trying to dodge every item or every enemy in sight. And when a boss would come up, oh boy, some of the most satisfying circle strafing I've ever taken part in as an SPF meathead was in this game, because you're just trying to fly around and just keep moving, but you're trying to keep that boss in the center of your screen so that all of your crazy spinning bone projectiles fly right at him. What fun.
Oh, and the control, the sliding, I think that was the other key thing that makes this game. I don't remember Risk of Rain 2. I don't remember if that had it, but like when you're on a slope and you hit control, you just maintain your speed. It's like it turns it into ice. And that really contributes to that Counter-Strike surf sort of feel. And it's super nice when you're like flying through the air, something hit you, or you're jumping up and then you see a slope and you just like slide into it. You hold down control and that sends you off the next mountain. Oh, it is quite a delight.
Yeah, movement so I think
yes,
is important.
We
and
all
for my
knew that
money,
that was a thing you could do. For
I,
sure.
I you
just
were, you
that
were
right
not
now.
Sliding?
I don't know how sliding. I would have known that that existed.
All right. Oh. I was just going to not say anything, but I'm afraid that I also did not know about this.
Oh my goodness.
I'm glad I didn't yes and too much, because then I would look like a total hack fraud. Yes, you can crouch in this game. Not that it ever tells you to do this. Well, I should have put it together. It was like, well, why is there crouching? That doesn't seem to matter. Oh, of course, so that you can slide down slopes. I mean, come on, we should all know that from going back as far as Super Mario Brothers 3 or what have you. So, well, that's great. I think one of the things that this game like just definitively does better than Vampire Survivors is the movement and the exploration.
Yeah,
I realize it's you know 3D versus 2D, so it's maybe not totally fair to compare, but the simple act of travel is so much more engaging and so much more fun for me in this game versus Vampire Survivors.
I think I would agree from the aspect of like what am I trying to say? Like moving through the environment feels better. But I think Vampire Survivors has weirdly a more interesting play space in that, like, it's a static map, but generally there's like places where you can find specific things, and that like because of the way that like the level geometry in Vampire Survivors is laid out, like it gives it, I felt like I had more player agency to kind of like bait like the giant tidal wave of enemies around a corner and have them kind of like bend to my will a little bit.
Interesting.
And
okay,
like
okay.
like force them into choke points sort of thing. Because I remember there was
it's a
like,
little more precise
for Vampire
you know?
Survivors.
Yeah, like you can actually like three dimensions just makes it harder to like grok everything that's going on around you.
And if that like was it like the movie trailer from World War Z where they just have like the tidal waves of zombies like flying over everything. If one of those tidal waves like falls on top of you in this game, that's it. Like you are dead immediately. Versus I think like Vampire Survivors, like you
every
can
once in a while you can Matrix Neo where you just burst out of the Smiths, but most of the time you die.
Yeah.
That being said, I mean getting surrounded in Vampire Survivors is a death sentence. Whereas in this game, you can jump, or you can leap. You know, you can make a quick escape off of the cliff's edge that you're getting backed into. I appreciated that I didn't succumb to being surrounded like in a two-dimensional survivor like as easily. Although it did happen a few times when there were too many enemies above me, as you two have said.
I felt
hey,
like
on the topic of
the surrounding
geometry
was
and travel, I have an update. I'm quite confident in the Discord here. I loaded up two separate games that the geometry is procedurally generated each run.
Huh. Okay. Interesting.
Which I think that was my perception, and it felt like, oh, okay, this is a significant randomized factor. It's meaningful and is impactful. I think the way that risk of rain does it.
What I'm looking at here is it looks like just randomized placement of items and chests. Like I don't see
the ramping is different. So like for people listening to this 1,000 years from now, after Discord has long been destroyed by private equity, what we're looking at is a picture that Andrew has posted in our Discord that is like, here's the mini map from presumably stage one, in one run versus another one, and like I mean, you can see the little squares in it is the level altitude ramping, I think.
Indeed.
And oh, I how see. It's I like, see what you mean. Yeah, like it's slightly different, but well, it is. It's very different.
So, for
between
example,
the two.
On the left, you can see that there's a combination of this is fascinating. Four squares that create a uppercase T, near the middle on the left, and that is not present in the second map.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, great. Yeah, I don't have to rewrite my ranking section. Is the point now? Okay, moving on.
Well, I guess like. Risk of Rain also, it's not procedural, but it will randomly pick from a pool of like three or four, I think, pre-made maps of that same theme. So like,
right, which is a form of randomization, and it works quite well for that game.
Yeah, and like all the stuff placed in the level and your spawn point will be randomized as well. So effectively, like it's functionally very large.
All right, the second sentence of Megabunk Wikipedia is it Uh-oh. Features procedurally generated maps.
Okay.
So there you go.
Goodness. Well, I was Googling it and I'm like,
problem solved.
Definitive answer, but if the wiki says it,
still I was just going to Andrew. Oh my God. Well, you know what? Never mind. Go. You gotta de-Google, my friend. All the audience out there, get off that shit.
The Google search engine is an AI. Like, I mean, they're not that dissimilar.
DuckDuckGo.
Just
there
kind of
go.
A bad
That's
one. Oh, I thought you were suggesting like, oh, why aren't you asking Gemini or something?
No.
All right, moving on. So what else? What else we got here? The music, good. That's another part of the experience of flying through the desert at maximum speed with a giant swarm of spinning weapons around you, eviscerating the hordes of enemies, is that the music is bumping. It's pretty dang good. I like it.
Yeah, I like the music of this game a whole lot. It's done by Miguel Angel 960, who also did the music for a total Stay Tuned in the Future, Tiny Rogues, top tier. It's not quite a Survivors-like game. It plays very similarly to one in that like it's a very, very easy. I almost hesitate to use the word twin stick shooter. It's almost like a one stick auto shooter. But it has a kind of like very simplified Enter the Gungeon vibe to it. Also great tunes for that. Yeah, I think like that I was using it for a bike workout yesterday of like, I'm going to put on the Megabonk OST and like drill out some of these like awful, awful cycling workouts. And it worked pretty well. So
how many jumps are you up to on your bike these days?
Triple jump, quadruple jump. Only one jump, but I have the 300% extra jump height. So.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Okay, respect.
And I've got the quad damage for being airborne.
Unfortunately does not have any fall damage resistance though. So
which yeah, if you're on the desert map and you are trying to charge one of those stupid totems and a dust devil comes by and throws you up into the air and you're like, "Well, I was hoping for something that would give me some health regen." But I'm just gonna have to. Oh, and I landed on a cactus, and now I'm dead.
I'm gonna have to. You're gonna mega bonk with the ground and the cacti there. And hey, fellas, I kind of expected from like the artwork of the knight smashing a goblin or something like on the head, and with the name of the game being Mega Bonk, for there to be more bonking. I just assumed.
Not much
based on the
weapon.
Presentation in the name, like, well, surely I'll be jumping on the heads of enemies at some point. Why is this game called Mega Bonk? When does the bonking happen?
Presumably named after the item in the game, not weapon, called Big Bonk, which has a 2% chance to bonk an enemy dealing 20x damage. I don't know. I feel like,
well, of course. I mean, it's a pretty good name. Like, I remembered it the first time. The first time it ever got met. The first time Will ever mentioned it. It's stuck in my brain.
Yeah.
It has like a ring to it. So, okay.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, it kind of fits the theme of all the other Danny themed or named games, like, you know, Milkman Carlson or Ooga Booga or Jelly Drift. So, you know, yeah, I mean, it's got all the spice that that one John Megabonk would want out of a title.
It's memorable. I mean, I wish that they had a big a weapon that was just a big bonking hammer.
Mm-hmm.
There is a big bonking hammer.
What?
Yep, you can get it, and it has a 1 in, I believe, 20 chance of doing like 20x damage, I believe.
That's what I was talking about.
I want
big bonk.
A weapon.
Oh, not an eye. Okay, I see.
Yeah. I want to be able to bonk, you know, instead of an aura, I want a big cartoon hammer. Wooden
you
cartoon
want the
hammer.
You want the Super Smash Brothers hammer that you pick it up and you're just going.
Yes, exactly. Or I want to like Gallagher style smash their heads like watermelons.
I want to kind of circle back to the maps a little bit more. Like we had talked about, there's a forest, there's a desert, there's two other maps that I was not. It was a skill issue on my part to not get
I think
to.
There's only one other map, right?
Well, like as you progress through one of these, let's say the forest map, on your first excursion through it, it'll just be like,
oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, go and find the little circle gate, which is also copy pasted out of Risk of Rain 2, which is sometimes almost impossible to find on the map, depending on your character speed. You find it, you summon the boss, you fight boss, and your first excursion through on like, you know, easy mode, it's like, all right, now you just survive until like ghosts swarm you and die, and that's fine. Then on the next level of difficulty, you fight the boss, and then you summon through to a different part of the map that is just like a darker version of it.
Right. You go to the portal, you summon the boss, you kill the boss, then you jump through the portal into the harder version of the stage,
mm-hmm.
which, hey, this is so much better than the average survivor objective IMO. Also, the fact that the default timer is 10 minutes, or at least it starts at 10 minutes. It varies as you go through the game. Beautiful. Love it. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Don't waste my time. 10 minutes is great.
It's
that being,
I thought...
that being said, 10 minutes, great. The stages themselves are like first stage. Fine. Second stage is just the first stage again, but with the boss having a lot more hit points.
You're referring to Forest Tier 2.
Yes.
Okay.
You're like, cool, I beat Forest Tier 1. Now let's just do it again. I like the mini bosses were the same mini bosses, just with more hit points, which that disappointed me a lot, actually.
Every level is just getting like it's just a scaling up of health, essentially, of enemies. And
yeah.
That's pretty much all it is. I think it's as a function of time, or is that maybe I'm misremembering?
I think it's both.
You lodged this complaint, and I was prepared to not like it, but I don't know, given that like it's just so short, and also there's a nice filter change between the tiers. It's like, oh well, now it's a purple forest. My brain, my eyes think it's totally different.
Yeah, I mean, that's
if it were 30 minutes, if I had to go through and play the exact same one, fight the exact same boss with 10 times health, that would have been untenable, not unacceptable. But I guess it is an issue. I agree, Colin, but it wasn't an issue in practice for me because it's so quick.
Well, and it's not that different than just playing the first level over again, because there's also just the same boss every time. I mean, it's the other half of my larger complaint, which is there is no variation in bosses. There is the same mini bosses and the same boss for the level every time.
Well, I'm going to stop a whole bunch of angry YouTube comments here, because technically on the desert tier 1, you fight Lil Anubis, and then tier 2, you fight a totally different boss called Anubra.
Yeah.
But it's much larger.
There are two mini bosses and they're the same. And the only thing is which one's going to come first.
Well, I mean, for all we know, they have different abilities, perhaps. I wasn't paying close enough attention,
no.
But you're right. The same name, the same model, that's too samey.
Like, maybe this game is going to get more content. I think it will.
I don't think so.
No? Okay. I mean, that does, it hurts my ability, my replay
Yeah.
enjoyability. Like, I think that if you're trying to do a true roguelike and you know exactly what's going to happen when you get to the boss, I know what the boss is, point blank.
Yeah. I
Like,
feel like to kind of expand on why I don't think any more content is coming out for this game. I think like if this game is developed by Danny, and yes it is, that he like puts out games more of kind of like almost kind of like skill tests of what he
He
does.
used to before when he posted YouTube channel stuff, but now he's a game dev and he needs this for money.
Ooh, interesting. Perhaps we are in a new phase of Dannydom.
Yeah, maybe. Unless he just took the money and was like, all right, I'm done. Which I could also totally respect. But like looking through like the Steam DB like update history for it's like game comes out and there's like there have been like 12 updates since September 2025, which I don't know, it's like, a few updates a month on average or something, but like the last big update was late January of 2026 for the hats update. Everyone remembers the big hats update, the Mega Bonk. Mark your calendars. And since then there's maybe been like a couple bug fix ones, but like I really don't see like his style of being like, okay, we've got like the base game down. Now we're gonna add like 10 new maps, we're gonna add like 200 new enemies and all that stuff. I just don't think like that's kind of his style, and I think he's more using this as a like launching point to like learn 3D Unity game dev more to make his super hot Portal Carlson mashup game, and maybe launch that as like another commercial type thing under some other anagram pseudonym. But like that's where I can see this going. I don't think this is heading in a trajectory of like Halls of Torment, where it's like release and then like years of adding more stuff to it, and it's like, oh, there's like this whole rich content ecosystem to it. I think it's like it's a game, it's out, it's done, move on. And that's also perfectly fine, I think.
Well, it's perfectly fine if you have included the requisite number of variety bosses in it when you released it.
Sure.
I mean, this is literally, it's my biggest complaint about the game is that it does not have a lot of variety in terms of the things that you're fighting against. It has a moderately good amount of variety of the things that you're playing with, your weapons or whatnot, but
Weapons and characters. I guess maybe I'm definitely putting more of a focus on the environments, and that randomization and that variety really does a lot for me, and I'm less concerned about what I'm specifically fighting. But yeah, Colin, I think it is an issue. As for whether it's going to get updates, I mean, since it came out, my understanding is that it only launched with two levels. Is that incorrect?
Well, Andrew, you were talking about the graveyard and the crypt, and I have seen the him dead, maybe, or no, you dead, maybe him skill issue death screen too many times to be motivated to try to get those two last levels unlocked. So what are those exactly?
It's the same level.
As the desert?
No. The last level is both crypt and graveyard.
Yeah, the crypt is
Okay.
like a mini sort of maze thing into the
Which I thought
graveyard.
was actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was a
But
novel
I
little
feel
like.
like I've maybe seen, I'm gonna do some research separately. What are they? Let me quickly give you the information, Scott. So you select the graveyard level, you launch it, and you start in this crypt, a crypt which smells like shit, and you have 60 seconds to escape the crypt. So again, I love the fact that now we're in like a smaller environment and that it's focused on, hey, you've been learning how to move in this game. Now we're going to put that to the test, right? So you're trying to get out before the timer is
Knowing that
up.
you can skate, you can control slide over things makes the whole crypt make way more sense.
That would be helpful. That being said, I chose the gorilla, and the gorilla can climb, and that makes things easier. So 60 seconds to get out before a giant ghost appears and kills you Spelunky style. Then you go into a more traditional level, which is similar to the forest. There's like, I think, even more elevation variety. And instead of trying to find a monster, trying to find a boss portal, you're having to go around to four different points in the map, fight mini bosses, After you kill the mini boss, you get a key. You collect all four keys. You go to a location on the map called the Crypt. You unlock the Crypt. You go through another 60-second race section, and then you fight a big evil undead guy named, I think, Big Bob.
John Megabonk.
And there's a little
bit of
controversy.
He has like 12 million health.
There's some controversy about how this boss fight is designed. I think it's quite good, but I get it that if you don't understand his one-shot mechanic, that would be incredibly frustrating. At certain points, he starts walking towards the middle of the map and he prepares to like unleash this big explosion. And if you are not shielded by one of the shrines, you're donezo. There's lava. He's got some fun different area of effect attacks. It's delightful. I've only listed a couple of things. I'm not really selling this boss fight.
No, it's a good boss fight. One shot thing was frustrating the first time it happened to me.
For sure. The first time it was frustrating. Fortunately, I did understand what happened. Some people don't immediately understand that is what's transpiring, that there's a one shot mechanic and how to avoid it. And so I was reading some complaints about it, which is I can appreciate to some extent.
Did we talk much about the tome system already? Shoulder shrug. Okay, so the tome system, I think, is kind of like your stand-in for, like, in Vampire Survivors, you had like synergies between things. Like, you pick item one and item two, and like they can synergize to make some cool other item. But that's not in here. You have, you start with two slots for weapons, so you can have up to two weapons to begin with. You have two slots for tomes, and these are things that, much like the weapons, you have to like unlock with silver and stuff, but they will give you like plus size or plus movement speed or plus HP regen that will level up in a more straightforward fashion, I guess, than the weapons do, if I recall right. I think these are like projectile tome, like will increase the speed of your projectiles, or the one that gives you just more XP or something like that. And I think these are just kind of like stuff that are more they're passives, but like, unlike the items that are also passives, they're, I guess, more straightforward ones. And each, like, I guess for weapons and tomes, we didn't really talk about this, but as part of the shop, which is one of the things that you can pick on the main menu, that's where you can unlock more of those weapon and tome slots, as you correctly guessed, for more silver. So for your third weapon slot is 25 silver. Slot four, you have to complete 45 quests and dump 125 silver to get your final weapon slot. And the tome is kind of similar. You 35 silver for your third slot, and then slot four is 55 quests and 135 silver.
And the biggest thing about the tomes is that it, in order to upgrade them, you use one of, when you level up, you can either upgrade your weapons or your tomes.
Yeah.
And so like the play of which one do you upgrade is pretty, you know, you got to upgrade your weapons first a little bit so that you have something, and then you start
wrong.
I mean, depends on what your tome is, but I've died a couple of times just because it's like, oh, this is obviously like a good thing. And it's like, well, but I only have one bullet right now, so I probably should have take the one that made it so it was two bullets instead.
Damage tome every time.
Difficulty tome. That's the meta right there.
Difficulty?
Difficult, yeah. This guy over here.
I mean, of course you're going after difficulty as you can. And then like that makes your enemies ramp up, which makes it so you get more items faster. It's just like this whole other scaling
spoken
on top of the scaling.
Like a true pro gamer. Difficulty every time.
Of course, it kills you right away if you get touched by anything.
Sure. As it should. I'm looking through my notes here, and other than bashing things for originality aspects, did we have any other...
I have two major complaints I'd like to lodge really quickly. Number one, by default, there's this absurd mouse smoothing option that is on. Crazy. Like, I don't want any lag in my camera, thank you very much. I get that maybe from a presentation standpoint, like, perhaps you want it to not be like herky jerky and one-to-one, but y'all,
FPS
I play Counter-Strike. I play games. I want there to be, I want it to feel like the game is responding to my input. And this default mouse smoothing is outrageous. Thank goodness I bothered to check it right out of the gate. Yes, FPS meathead, et cetera, et cetera. The next thing is the game initially had a pretty good system. You go to the map selection and it's very clear about like, hey, you want to unlock this next map? Here's what you need to do. And like, I appreciated how clear it was. It's an issue for me with Vampire Survivors. It's not super clear. In this game, clear what I need to do next to progress. After beating Big Bob, no idea what I'm supposed to do. Is that the end? Is there anything else? I'm not totally sure. It sounds like from our discussion, there's no other maps to be unlocked.
Wait, did you guys beat the final boss though in the desert? Like after tier three?
No. Nope.
Oh,
I have not done that. Is that what I should be doing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like if you haven't gotten beaten the tier three of every one, that seems like that's the next step is finishing that out. And that will unlock the final, at least what was, I didn't even realize there was a crypt and a graveyard. That must've been new content since when I played. Yeah. But previously it was just beating, like you get transported off to a separate mega boss, like final boss fights arena. And that one has lots of different stages and lots of like incorporated.
That's great. That's great.
Skills that you need.
I don't want to have to Google that. I don't want to have to co-host a podcast where I have to ask a bunch of other people.
No, but it's a very natural.
I mean, I do
tier
feel
one,
like that's...
tier two, tier three, go through the tier.
I guess, but I don't know if that's just extra content. Like, hey, you want to play the same levels on harder? Like Colin said, you want to play the same mini bosses, but on harder. Or if there's actually new bespoke content for me to find at the end of that. I don't know for sure. And time is short, and I don't want to Google everything.
I mean, the only reason I didn't get there is because I'm bad at the game.
Skill issue.
Yeah.
Indeed. Well, I mean, the game starts with telling you what you need to do to progress and see new things. Why does it suddenly stop doing that?
Well, but it tells you all the time. In fact, there's as soon as you log into this is one of the big selling points about this game in terms of like its clarity is that like you have right in front of you the list of all of the things that you are just about to get. Like of all the different unlocks, it takes it like, and there's like hundreds of them. It takes your like top 10 that puts there. And so you can see, oh, I'm 5 points away from doing this. It's supposed to be this really, I think it's a very good dangling methodology. Because it's like everything is just within grasp if you just play one more game, and so there's always something that will compel you to like keep playing for that one extra unlock until you get all the tiers unlocked, until you get all the weapons unlocked, and so on.
I hear you. I've never been very achievement and unlock motivated. I've been new content motivated, and again, the game does a great job at the beginning of telling you what is next, and then it dispatches with that for some reason.
Well, you don't consider new weapons and new gear to be new content? Like, I guess that's I don't understand.
I mean, yes, I should say new levels and new characters. Pardon me, new enemies rather is more important.
But the new enemies in this kind of game is much less important than other games because the nature of the enemy
boss
in this game
enemies,
is that
perhaps,
they
is
will walk
I'm
at you
say.
Slowly. And some of them will cause like little damage things. But like that's what happens in these sort of kind of games, right? And so, yeah, maybe a boss variety, but I don't know. That just felt like such a small aspect of the game relative to everything else.
So you were definitely much more in the camp of like, I want to see like the content variety for like, how you are killing the enemies, regardless of what they look like, as opposed to like new maps or like enemy behavior patterns or.
Well, I mean, like how that's the problem here is like there aren't a lot of ways you can do new behaviors with this style of game. I can see it if you have a bullet hell game. Yeah, then they're spinning around, they're dodging you, they're doing these complex patterns. But in this kind of game, it is very, and like as you saw in that how the game was built sort of thing, it's like the enemy walks towards you. That's what it does every single time. It's just going from here, walking directly in a straight line to your character.
Sure.
And like, what else can you do? You can make them faster. You can make them move left and right, I guess. Before
no,
they come
well,
in.
Even just, I was playing some Vampire Survivors earlier today, and like some of the enemies in that, like they'll spawn like a fight ring around you, and it's like you and the big mantis like inside the fight ring, and you have to kind of like dodge around. You know, like that's
okay,
like
you know, that's fair. That's fair. That is fair.
There's that, and then like Halls of Torment,
a line, and it just a line sweeps across.
Yeah, or like you know, there's or like the bat clusters that'll fly in, but like Halls of Torment did this really well, where it was like. The mini bosses themselves had like very interesting gimmicks and like oh, I'm gonna like attack like this area here and like blow this thing up. And there were like a whole bunch of different ones of them that like were themed, like integrated very well with like the level design.
Yeah, I think that's one of the big downsides of 3D and procedural generated is that you can have crisp, bespoke enemy animations for a 2D plane. It's a lot harder to figure out how that enemy is going to react. Like I remember when I was fighting the boss in like the forest, the first forest boss, and he spawned in some weird spot and he kept just being getting like stuck on top of a tree. And he could use his like root attack, and I couldn't get to him. And I had to just run away and hope he eventually fell down. And he wouldn't because he was like stuck in a weird corner, kind of.
He knew what he was doing.
You can't, I mean, they can they get stuck? I mean, that's the whole nature. Like, they can walk up walls. That was the way they defeated the getting stuck sort of.
Yeah, I mean, stuck is probably not quite the right word. He wasn't, it was,
He was camping.
he was in a part of the map that he kept going up really high.
We gotta stop
And
strafing around him in a circle. You gotta go in one direction
well,
and then
yeah,
forward.
that's why he ran away
I had
eventually.
to
Did it
run away and
work?
just wait till he slowly followed me into a slightly more open area.
And the
But
whole time the timer's
the
going
bosses are very
down,
slow.
at any moment, the unending horde of progressively getting faster and faster ghosts are gonna fly out and swarm and kill you. I mean, that sucks. I'm sorry to hear that.
No, I mean, and it was fine. I understood what was happening, and I lost that
For
because
sure.
I had just a bad build. But it illustrates the point of like it's harder to have complex choreographed movements on procedurally generated 3D maps just
Sure.
because
Yeah, with the
there's
horde enemies, there's not a ton of variety,
and
indeed.
like I'm thinking Halls of Torment. There was like the On that bridge level, there was the knight that like galloped down and had like the crazy lances that went off, and then he would circle back and he's like doing all these like movement patterns. He
You
kept
just need some Elden
really
Ring in there, and that just take a movement pattern from one of those bosses and then port it over, right?
Well, I
Just
mean, right.
import Elden
Elden
Ring.
Ring, all of the bosses are basically like you go into a room, right, where it has been very carefully designed for that boss. So, and a lot of times they're very flat.
Yeah,
So
I
that
mean, like with just looking through like some of the other solo dev games that we've covered. Like none of them are 3D because of this problem where
3D is
like
way harder.
3D is way harder. And yeah, like, having 10,000 different enemy types and 10,000 different weapons is a much taller ask to ask of one dude who's already kind of burnt out on the whole YouTube game dev scene, I guess. But yeah, so, but it's maybe he just needs to like flip on the one switch in the Unity code that's like enable Steam Workshop support, and then the community will just farm it out for him.
Yeah,
Problem solved.
maybe.
I'm not gonna complain too much about it. It's just an interesting, like, that is the down, that's the penalty you pay. Like, I think that this game gains a lot by being in three dimensions. But there are some sacrifices that you have to
Sure.
make. It's like the balance tome or the balance statues that you find. Did you get to those? Is it only on the crypt level that has
Think it's only
that?
in the graveyard, yeah.
Yeah, the graveyard has an
Those
extra
were
set of
too
things
risky.
where it's like do twice as much speed but have half as much health regen or something. And sometimes that's very good for you.
Some interesting ideas.
Have your armor double your speed. It's like, hell yeah, always.
And it would be great to see even more interesting ideas with more updates. I, for one, hope that Danny has entered a new era of his oeuvre. And that this is going to be a game that continues getting support. But if not, I
It's gonna
mean,
be
for
Terraria style.
$10, 3 levels is a little sparse, like 3.5 levels. But I mean, huge roster of enemy, pardon me, of enemies, but hu more importantly, huge roster of characters and items and weapons. I think for $10, this is a pretty attractive and large package.
Sounds like we're rating it right now. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna ask if there were any other memes from 2019 that we're missing here before we went into rankings, but yeah, it sounds like we're
We
heading that
barely talked
direction.
about Aura at all. You gotta farm for Aura.
We gotta farm it up. Maybe I'll start with the weakest Aura here out of the bunch. I was trying to
Please,
come.
no, hold on. We can't let this self-effacing humor go past our Omega host. You get to go first because you have the right and privilege as the
Oh,
supreme leader of
you've
this
been cucked by this game.
the supreme
Yes,
leader of this pod.
that's the one. I was trying to come up with like what's the memeiest number that I can give this game for a ranking?
Oh,
Oh,
And
yeah.
I think I have the solution here. I think this is a scientifically validated
Jesus
solution.
Christ.
So I'm giving Mega Bonk a 6.69,
Which rounds up
and
to 6-7.
which rounds up to 6.7.
Well
Hey,
done.
elbow nudge, elbow nudge. I think that like so that puts it just behind Lone Star and just ahead of Diablo 1. Man, that end game where we were just getting stuck in the staircase in hell was just anyway. I think this game overall, I don't know, I'm conflicted on because it's like it's another one of those like X meets Y games, but it's not better than either of them. I'm a big like I will defend Risk of Rain 2 as much as I need to.
Wait, you think this game is worse than Risk of Rain 2? Is that what you're
Yes,
trying
I
to?
think Risk of Rain 2 is much, much better than this
What
game,
are you talking about?
unquestionably. Like
What the f mm.
content, like that, like boom, content, like right there alone
Yes,
is
that's a
enough.
word, but it has to have some meaning. What are you talking about? There's not more
Wait, no, I
content than
didn't
this.
see.
All
There's
right.
not.
So,
Wait, hey.
Will, here's what we have here is a comparison between a game and a game that has
I
transcended
think
into
they're.
art. Risk of Rain 2, I'm sorry, takes it any day by my count.
You guys are all you're insane.
Anyway,
You're absolutely insane.
no, I think this game is
let him do his rankings.
almost painfully derivative because of how much like it borrows, and I'm giving borrow a lot of leeway here from Risk of Rain 2 and Vampire Survivors. I think the goal for this game that Danny set out was like, can I build Vampire Survivors in like Risk of Rain 2 in the same game? And he succeeded in that goal, and that's great. That's about where the goal ends for me. I think that like either of those two games are much better. But again, it's like comparing where did I write it down? It's like comparing like the Harrison Ford movie Air Force One and like the other movie Casino, like two like titans of like entertainment film industry. And the you combine them into Money Plane or something where it's like
Or like Alien and Predator, and you combine them into one Alien versus Predator.
and you have them versus each other. And so I don't know. I'm going a little hard on it because it's so popular. Like I had like this idea of like, damn, this game's gonna have like a t like there's got to be a reason why this game is so popular. And I think the reason why it's so popular is because of Danny's audience. I think that there are a lot of games that have a much
Audience that we
less.
love and respect.
And they've
An
all
audience we've never
subscribed.
heard of before.
Well, yes.
And so before you thumbs down the video, I think like what I'm trying to say is that this game works great for that audience. I am not that audience. I think that's it's too grindy. I think there are a bunch more original style or originally designed survivor-like games out there that need more attention. And that yeah, like you know, Danny's following found the game that he obviously made and put out under the pseudonym. And it was, you know, featured prominently at the Game Awards and all that stuff. And it like on the face of it, like it's a fun game. It's a fun game to play. I enjoyed playing the game. The music is good. I think like the developer himself, Danny, seems like a cool guy. And I think he is doing like a good service of educating the brain rot generation on YouTube with like, here's how to do game dev stuff in a good way. And if he did like take the money and run and he's just retired from game dev now, all the more power to him. I think this is a good like first roguelite game in a way of like if you've never played a roguelite game before at all or whatever, and you're just like, I don't know what this is. Look, this seems fun. This seems like a good foothold into maybe better games. But it's very simple to understand. It's got bright colors, easy controls. You can do a run in 10 minutes. It's got everything that you would want that style of game to do, except depth. And I think that's the kind of Achilles heel to this for me. So for me, I'll wrap up my Doom ratings here with the 6.69, the meme-y sex number, which rounds up to an even meme-ier number that will age just as poorly.
Andrew.
Okay, so as a reference to earlier, I spent the weekend at SakuraCon, the Seattle Anime Convention, biggest anime con in Washington State, and what a delightful time it was. And so many delightful things happened. I was volunteering in the tabletop room. I got to see people playing and enjoying the Slay the Spire board game. I also got to take a gander at someone who had brought their personal copy of the Slay the Spire board game to the event, and they had lovingly painted all of the figures, the four characters. It was delightful. It was wonderful. Played some good games, ran some good games. And next door was the tournament, video game tournament room, which was really legit. They had a big screen. They were streaming stuff. It was mostly fighting games. Which I'm garbage at. But I wanted to, enjoy some competitive activities. So I signed up for the random game tournament. And so it got me, had me thinking a lot about randomness, and I've been reflecting on it since then. And the random game tournament, you would think it would maybe be, oh, well, we're just going to pick a random game and we're going to have people 1v1 to the death and we're going to do a bracket. It's going to be a good time. No. They took it to the next level. Not only was every round a random game, every individual 1v1 match in the bracket was random. There was a wall of laptops. You'd sit down with your opponent and you would spin the wheel of random games, and a literal little UI wheel would spin and it would tell you what 1v1 game you were about to do a best, two out of three of. And there were a lot of fighting games. Street Fighter games, Gundam games, more Neo Geo games than I've ever seen in my life. So stuff like Bubble Bobble showed up, some random sports games. At one point, in order to secure my third place win, not to brag, sitting up there on the champions podium, I had to play a mirror match of
Of
the
Megabok?
Power Rangers fighting
Yeah,
game.
how is this
Ooh, that's a
all
good
related to
one.
Megabok, by the way?
We're getting there. Talk more about Power Rangers.
And anyway, the ultimate, the final 1v, well, of course, in this particular case, the tournament organizer decided that not only would it be a ROM of the Power Rangers game, it would be you'd hit launch ROM and launch game, and then it would go to a save state, which was a mirror match between Ivan Ooze and Ivan Ooze, two overpowered boss characters with unblockable moves. And I laughed so hard. This was a hoot. And why was it a hoot? Because it was so random and wild and unpredictable. Meaningful randomization. And as it relates to this game specifically, the randomization of the 3D environments has such an impact and makes the game so much richer, more richer than I and more meaningful than I expected. I've gotten pretty sick of top-down two-dimensional survivor games. In those, movement, precise movement, very important so that you can guide your auto attacks and kite your enemies. Adding another dimension to it was really refreshing, really exciting, really fun for me. Hey, you know what else was random? Might seem random is the way that I scored games on this podcast. Yes, for all our new listeners from the Danny community, my co-hosts had one ranking system and then they switched it up on me. So there's no need to judge me harshly on my decisions and the way that I've ranked this game because it's pretty arbitrary and not worth overanalyzing at all. Megabonk will get onto my list of games at number 29. With 7.03 Andrew points. That is right above Hoplite. That is right behind Noita. 7.01. Lots of fun for $10. What a deal.
All right, I'll go next. I'm going to give it a 7.2, so slightly better than Andrew. For me, it is right above Risk of Rain 2, which I put it
Thank
as
you.
7.1.
Oh
So
boy.
similar, mostly because unlike Scott,
You've got some
and
taste. Yeah, I agree.
no, I don't care about the story of the developer in any way. And I barely care about the flavor of many of these games. I really only care about like how does it feel to play when you're jumping around in it. And overall, I'd say that like I had a really strong start. I liked this game a lot for the first like 2 hours, and then it kind of got a little samey. And yeah, I could unlock a lot more stuff, and I have unlocked more stuff, but the lack of depth is the thing that really keeps me from giving it a better score. I think there's a lot going for it. Now knowing all of the lore behind the game, I understand like where it is. I was kind of disappointed when I went to look at it and saw that it was recently published but not in early access, because I was like, oh, this feels like it could be a good early access game where it's going to get better. And the fact that it sounds like maybe it won't is a little bit disappointing. But I would say that like playing as that skateboarding skeleton was very fun. I don't know about the rest of the characters quite as much, but getting good movement, that's a pretty high highs. So 7.2, I think for $10, I think it's a perfectly fine amount of fun, and would recommend.
Cool. I guess that brings it to the correct rating. So it's going to go ahead and be a 7.5.
Yeah.
It's
Oh.
a quality game, and it's much better than Risk of Rain 2. Which where do I have that? I think I gave that one a 6.0. And I think yeah, Scott, I look at your score here, 9.4 for Risk of Rain 2. Oh my God, that's incredible. I think yeah, you really loved the developers or something about that. I don't know exactly what mechanically about that game you felt like was better, because this is better in every regard, and it has the advantage of looking at that game, seeing what it did wrong, and then improving on those things. And so I think they did that really well. And I think that Colin, your complaint that yeah, it does feel samey. Well, for me, that didn't. I mean, I got through to unlock I think everything at least at the time when I played it. I know they've released more content since, but yeah, no, that I was compelled to beat the final boss. And that was a serious challenge if you haven't unlocked everything, if you haven't gone through the meta progression and done all that stuff. And so, by all means, if you can beat the final boss without doing that, by all means, that's more power to you. But I couldn't. I know I had to unlock a bunch of stuff. I had to learn like what sort of things were better. The slutty rocket, yeah, that's an S-tier weapon. You have to learn that. Some of the other weapons, the fire trail, that's a F-tier. And so you kind of get a sense of that over time, and the development or like learning how to synergize everything, especially when you have a new weapon, you have to figure out what does that go with? How do I balance that with the tomes, with the items, and how do I use a microwave strategically to advance my build? How do I use the what should I buy when I go to one of these vendors? Like these are all interesting questions for me, and not ones that are trivial. And every single time it's different, which is obviously the nature of this kind of game. So yes, definitely a solid game in my opinion, for $10 for sure. And let's see, where do I have this on my list here? Risk of Rain 2, or sorry, this is where we have this. I give it a 7.5. It's just below, yeah, Halls of Torment. It is a little bit better at Halls of Torment, and it's just above Cult of the Lamb and like Dot Age and that kind of game. So there you have it.
Well, that's gonna overall land Mega Bonk at our number 41 out of scroll, scroll, scroll. 92 games. We're closing in on that number 100 coming in pretty soon here. Just behind Rift Wizard and just ahead of some other solo dev. We got a good little solo dev pocket going here with Mega Bonk, then World of Horror, and then Rogue Tower. Kind of in the nice upper part of the meaty middle, as it were. But yeah, so I was trying to find like, all right, what are some similar games to this? Because we talked a lot about our previous episodes, Vampire Survivors and Risk of Rain 2 and Holocure a little bit. I think Brotato kind of factors in here a little bit. This feels maybe like a little 3D Brotato-y. Some other survivor games that we haven't checked out that I think need some more attention. The one that I think kind of like predates the whole thing and is maybe more of like a twin stick shooter-ish is Crimson Land. And that's from the age old, ask your grampy about what the world of 2010 was like. And Crimson Land was king back then. 20 Minutes Till Dawn is another kind of lo-fi top-down 2D survivors like Bone Razor Minions is one that's like that, but Halloween themed, that has a lot of very interesting charm. And then I think like this one's not a survivor like game, but I think closing in on I think I call these like the meme factor games. But this one actually is like, I think a lot like Megabonk is like memey, but you're like, huh, this game is like maybe better than the memes would make it seem like it is. Crab Champions, I think, fits in here as a game that was like developed by a guy who's like a techno YouTube artist, and then was like, maybe I'll try making a video game, and it's fucking sweet. We talked a little bit about Danny's other game, Muck, which is way more popular than this somehow, like the number, like top 12 or whatever. But some other meme-y rogue games where there's like a bottomless pit of this shovelware stuff that's still highly rated somehow. There's Dr. Livesey ROM and Death Edition, Livesey, which is like a bootleg Russian, how to describe it? Like Robinson Crusoe animated 80s Russian shooter game that looks very boomer shooter. Andrew's ears are perking up. You got your very appropriately titled Meme Mayhem game. You got YouTuber Survivors, Replicat, one that I think really kind of underlines the just like wide open area and just kill everything. Black Gunner Wukong, has got some choices behind it. You got Kun Kun Defender, which again, this is kind of like the black hole of the internet, and I'm just like, I'm assuming these are games and not just obvious spyware. And then how many dudes question mark, I think is will round out our meminess of games that are kind of similar in vibe and scope here. But that'll wind down our mega bonk episode here. Email grogpodzone@gmail.com. Our Mastodon that I've been doing some posting stuff on, grogpod@gamedev.place, the website grogpod.zone, all that good stuff. Keep an ear out, listeners, for some extra bonus stuff that's coming up pretty soon. I've been doing some interviews with people that have been a long time coming, so I'll parse those out through the feed as they are ready for production. But I'm actually going on as a special guest to our Parallel Universe podcast, the Rogue Pod Lightcast, to talk Binding of Isaac in a couple days. So that'll be fun. It's like that scene from Seinfeld where the Seinfeld regulars are coming across their parallel alternates in the street, and they're just like all nice, wholesome
You
dudes.
mean Bizarro Jerry and
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, and I am the Elaine crossing over the streams here. So keep an ear out for that. I think their episode for that should be published next, in theory, whatever the opposite week is from when we publish. We have a very nice accidental synergy going on where they publish like the week that we don't
The
publish.
Bizarro Week.
The Bizarro Week,
The
yes.
Bizarro Week, yes.
Exactly. So keep an ear out
The
for
incorrect Thursday or Tuesday, whenever you publish it.
I publish it usually within 45 minutes of me hitting the end record button, but all the extensive editing that I do. But that will wind down a mega bonk episode here. But you know what, Colin, cybersecurity has been in the news a lot lately. So what is your pick for the game that we're playing next?
Well, I'm going to 868 hack the plane that I take to vacation. And hopefully no one reports me as I play this game on my laptop while we fly down. 868 hack is the name of the game.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this one. I've played this game a bit on Steam. You can find it on mobile as well. I think, well, iPhone, but you can get an emulator to run on Android anyway.
I looked into it and it looked too sketchy. I'm just gonna play it on a laptop.
Yeah,
I don't want to sideload Windows onto my Android phone.
you don't want to dot hack the mainframe.
No.
All right,
No.
well, as we bootleg some burritos for our next episode on 868 Hack, I will play this one out with some sick techno electro funk beats that has a very mega bonk title to it called this. Yes, this is what it's called. She mega on my bonk, in parentheses, all night long.
Megabunk gets the last laugh.